Hi, my name's Sean Taylor. That's my friend Chris Ford, a.k.a. The Objective Geek. Welcome to Avatar, The Last Podcasters. Last week, we talked about top five. I already forgot it, and I even typed it down somewhere. Top five things that we didn't want to happen. This is our last pitch to the network execs over there at Paramount. Go ahead and make some last-minute changes based on our feedback. Last week, we did top five don'ts. This week, we're doing top five do's, top five things that we have high hopes will happen and that are good things that we want to happen. But before we start talking about that, Chris, how are you? What have you been up to?
Well, the New York Knicks, no, I'm kidding. I don't believe in jinx, but also I don't like telling them.
Like hedging your bets. Like, you don't have to believe it. You still want to, like, poke the bear, you know?
Yeah. What have I been up to? Nothing much at all. Well, by this point, I probably would have went to go see Masters of the Universe.
The previews look pretty good. I thought.
Yeah. It's funny how they are just like keeping Jared Leto away from all marketing.
Good.
They're just like, guys. He's not, you know, he plays the main villain. He's not in the movie.
The villain is in the movie and he is the villain. There's no need to connect the dots any further.
They did this like promo to go over the villains and like all of them are like, oh yeah, we love the villains and stuff. And it's the actors talking about the villains, right? It's the actor of He-Man, actor of Teela, and other actors talking about the villains, Jared Leto's not in. Like, they spend like 2 minutes talking about Skeletor. Jared Leto's not on the screen at all. Like, someone in marketing learned, too bad that the casting director didn't learn not to cast Jared Leto in anything, because it's not that he's bad, he is just really bots off his poison. Like, he really is.
He seems to be, and you can be a good actor and be box office poison. And you know what? This is maybe one way to cure that ailment, right? Is to have a good movie that he's in prominently and that he does not get to show up on any posters for.
I did see their most recent Mortal Kombat movie. I liked that a lot, actually.
Liked it a lot, better or worse than the previous one?
I think it was much better than the first.
Oh. I liked the first one a fair bit.
No, something about it. I feel like it was Carl Urban in it as Johnny Cage. I'm not a big Johnny Cage fan just because I always feel like he should not be the main character ever of Mortal Kombat.
That's a big turnoff of that movie for me. Like, I'll watch it at some point, stealing your HBO Max to do it, but...
Yeah, and it's kind of dual main characters. It's Johnny Cage and Katana, which I'm like, all right, cool, makes sense. Katana is like, I mean, she is the adopted daughter of Shao Kahn, who kills her father, and so like she should carry a lot of narrative weight in it. But yeah, anytime I play in the games and Johnny come up, I'm like, I'm not as interested in it. Like, I'm interested in the Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Raiden, all the gods and lore, not the white saber aspect of Johnny. Even though I don't think he's ever painted as white saber. But had he been the main character, and had they focused on him a lot, then yeah, it could come off white saber-ish.
Well, I'm glad
it was. I really liked it. Borderline maybe love.
Oh, dang.
Don't know. But
I liked the first one well enough. Obviously, it takes quite a bit to get me to the movie theaters, but from the previews, it didn't do much for me. Like, I assumed that it was going to be bad. So that's refreshing. Good.
Yeah. Good. I've also been on a recent Nolan kind of binge. Just two movies. I forgot why I made my daughter watch Interstellar, but we watched it, and she loved it.
Are you preparing for Odyssey mentally?
Maybe that's what. That's why I was on the Nolan binge, because I was listening to a podcast. Went down to Tulsa recently, and I needed something to listen to. I listened to this podcast called House of R. It's two ladies. They did like a review of The Dark Knight. I listened to that. I was like, oh, I like how they do podcasts. They're pretty cool. And they seem way smarter than me. Like, I don't seem smart at all on the podcast compared to them. I don't know if they're just like kind of smart, but like they break down movies and stuff. And I'm like, they know what they're talking about. Yeah. Not in a way of like, for girls, they know what they're talking about. I'm just like, yeah, they compared to even other podcasts I listen to.
No, like academically, they know what they're talking about, maybe, right? Like, that's good.
Yeah, like, yeah. And they were doing like a Nolan thing to prep for the Odyssey. So I listened to like three of their podcasts. I listened to one on The Dark Knight, one on Interstellar, and then one on Batman Begins. And I enjoyed it. And I was like, oh, now I really feel like going to go watch some Nolan movies. So I already had it in my head. I want to watch Interstellar. I know my daughter hasn't seen it, so I had her watch it with me. And she's going to really like it. Like, I record. There was one point where her mouth was just, like, on the floor. Like, and she was like, oh. So I started recording her reaction to it. And, like, there are some scenes where she's just like, there's a scene where they're on the, like, ice planet, and like the mountains are kind of coming in from top and bottom because there's the clouds are frozen, and she was just like, oh, like the camera and stuff was like so into it, but she really liked Interstellar. Then we watched The Prestige last night. I think she liked The Prestige. She said she liked it, but probably not as much as Interstellar. But Interstellar is such a great movie. Love Interstellar. Also love The Prestige.
I'm glad that Interstellar has stuck more than Inception. They're both...
Yes!
They're both a little, higher-minded than my sensibilities, but, like, I appreciated Interstellar more. That Inception is just, like, the... Not even a meme, it's just a thing we say, like, we'll say thing within a thing, like, Inception or whatever, with the thing's name in front of it, and that's, like, as long as it... But Interstellar's a better movie. It does get memed on for better or worse. Like, get TikToks of people like behind the bookcase looking in. But it'll be on like ridiculous things that they did as opposed to actually meaningful ones. But no, it's a better movie. Yeah. I'm glad it's stuck more. I don't hear people talk about The Prestige. It's a shame. I like The Prestige a lot.
Man,
what other Nolan stuff's out there that I don't even know is Nolan?
I don't go back and watch Dunkirk. That's not my.
That's not my thing.
Not my jam. It's a movie about British war during World War I, I think.
Okay.
Honestly, again, I'm not a fan of those types of movies anyway, and so that's probably the one Christopher Nolan movie that I'm like, I don't need to watch it ever again in my life.
I still haven't seen Tenet. Oppenheimer. That's just. It's not that I wouldn't like it. It just looks really long. That's too.
Yeah, it is long, but it was good though. But it's also good in the sense of like, I get why I won awards, and I don't really need to watch this movie again either. But I like the movie.
It can still be a good movie and elicit that feeling. That's fine.
Yeah, Tenet is a movie that I think I liked the first time I watched it. I didn't even realize that I own it on Blu-ray.
I'd never heard of that until this moment.
Tenet? Never heard of Tenet before?
It's not familiar to me. Not at face value.
It has to do with like
the cover. Denzel Washington's cool. Son.
Denzel Washington's son is the main character. He I can't even explain the plot to you, honestly, because I kinda forgot.
Yeah, maybe, but essentially,
they can make things go back in time in a way. Like if you drop a bullet, you can control, I think they say centrifuge or something. I forget what they say. But you can make the bullet come back. And so the movie is kind of, it's a thing. But I think it's one of the movies I need to go rewatch.
And then earlier ones that I, like, have heard of the movies but didn't know he was part of them or haven't seen them is Following, Memento, and Insomnia. And I just, movies, I've heard the names.
Yeah, Memento... man, I should watch Insomnia again. Watch Insomnia once. Watch Memento maybe once or twice. Both pretty good. The Following I tried to watch. It's in black and white, and I was just like, it's that's more so like, honestly, probably more so of a student film of his than than like his other ones.
I mean, as his first one chronologically, according to this, at least that makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense if you superimpose a list of my movie tastes over his list of movies. Why the Batman ones are my favorites, but I'll find Tenet at some point. That sounds interesting. And it's, even at some point, I'll break down. I'll watch Oppenheimer. It's not like I'm resisting it. I just don't have huge chunks of time for a movie that probably demands my attention in a chunk of time. It's not like 4 hours of TV show broken up. It's like, no, you kind of need to pay attention, probably. I don't know. I can't say I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Hopefully Odyssey's good. That is a subject matter that interests me, and obviously I like his work in action films, so I have high hopes for Odyssey.
Yeah. I already bought my ticket for Odyssey.
Oh, nice. I didn't realize it was that soon. Is it like around the corner soon?
July 17th.
Summer blockbuster. Cool.
Yeah. Nolan always releases movies in July, or he tries to, at least.
Makes sense. Chris, let's talk about some things we want, some other things that we want inside the world of Avatar in the Netflix live action. I just completely lost my train of thought. Netflix live action Avatar season 2. Our list of top 5 high hopes, things that we do believe will probably happen in order of least to greatest importance. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to?
You can go first, sure.
Sure. So my number 5, Chris, let's just rip this Band-Aid off right away. I just want a little less campy, little more likable Jet. I think he could be a prominent player in this season, depending on how they rearrange the story. I think he could have a slightly more prominent role. And if he's a little more likable and a little less like what a fifth grader thinks is cool, I'm fine with that. That would be good. And I think they will. I think they're going to mature him up just a little bit. It's still going to be some ship garbage with Katara, but it's going to be things that are going to make Katara swoon, but in a way that feels real. And I do have high hopes that it will happen, and that it's going to make him more likable, and that he's going to have a slightly bigger role. 20% bigger than his role.
I liked him in the first season. I need to do a quick rewatch.
Yeah, you got time. A few weeks.
But also, I'm like in between kind of watching Avatar with my youngest son and also still watching Korra. So, I don't know. I'll get to it eventually. All right. My number 5, high hope, that I think what Netflix Avatar does, honestly, better than other Avatar projects, is they're... Other Avatar projects doesn't put nearly as much emphasis on this character that this character deserves, and that is Suki. I think I might have mentioned this previously. Maybe it was a couple weeks ago. But
this week, maybe.
Even in their the thumbnail for the trailer, it's like Toph, Katara, Aang, Sokka, Suki. And I'm like, yeah, Suki, right in front. Good.
In the team.
Well, not right in front.
Avatar.
Yeah, and like, if she, I just hope she stays for the whole. Do I hope she stays for the whole time?
Yes, you do.
I hope she. Well, she. If she gets if she gets caught, then she goes to prison. Then there's the episode in season 3, the Boy in Rock. Either way, I just want more Suki. Looking forward to that. I think her character design is great. It's a great adaptation. Looks good. I think the actress is good in the role. So I think they will do Suki even better.
Awesome. Chris, my number 4 is that, and I only have one small piece of evidence to work off of here, but I do think that their narrative rearrangements are going to land. If I come away from this season like not impressed or whatever, I don't think it's going to be because they moved the puzzle pieces around in a bad way that broke this narrative on its own merit. I don't think that's going to be the case. And the only piece of evidence I have is that they did it in the first season, and that was the part that those were the things that were interesting to me. That they didn't like deviate from lore or whatever. They just told the story in a different way, in a different order, and I liked the way and order they did that. That was one of my biggest takeaways, and I think they can replicate that here at a bare minimum. Fitting important bits of the narrative in an order that still makes sense and is not broken. Its focuses and stuff might be in places I don't always like or whatever, but it's not going to be because there's like a big plot hole that had to be exposed to make something work. I think they're going to be good.
And that's a really good point. It's not on my list, but I do think they are smart enough to rearrange things and make it more efficient for the story that they are telling. And that's something interesting to see how they do it. They did a little bit of it last season, but there's definitely some stuff they can move around in season two.
I think there'll be a little more movement this season. I think there's going to be bits and pieces. Like last season, there was still a very similar arc, and I feel like this is going to be less of a parallel arc to the original.
Yeah.
Which
yeah, I agree.
I think should be a good thing, or at least I hope is a good thing.
Yeah. this should have been last on my list because it can go wrong, but I think it'll go more right. Original concepts. So last season, the biggest thing they did,
Spirit Knife,
it kind of might be. That was the worst thing they did. That's the original concept. I was gonna bring it up a little bit, but that was just dumb. It didn't make any sense. And also it was unneeded.
That's how you cut plot holes in stories, Chris. Spirit knives.
Yeah. But their original concept last season that really stood out, like the Zuko and the and his commanding unit, I forgot how many. Gosh, that was a trivia 42. Question. I had 45th, 42 infantry, something like that. 42nd. I think it was the 42nd.
Yeah, okay.
Infantry. There we go. Yeah. That was great. Great change.
Yeah. That tied together extra pieces in meaningful ways. Like it wouldn't just change to change. It like look at this thing, and we can do this a little more impactfully.
Yeah, so they'll probably have, like three of those things.
Okay.
And two of them will probably hit. And one will be a spirit knife.
And one will be a spirit knife.
And so, like the other original thing they did last season was Iroh having a funeral for his son and Zuko being there. I thought that was great and different. So, those are some original concepts that worked. Again, some of them probably won't work, but the ones that do work, I'm really excited for. To me, that's why you do adaptions. You add a little something new to it. See how it affects the characters. See how it affects the plot. So I don't know what those new things will be.
That's the point.
But I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Chris, the other two things that you mentioned that did land, they landed so good, they contributed to the negative thing in my previous list of that I'm worried that we're going to like Zuko too much too soon. Because we had had so much more sort of sentimental attachment to him from these touching early hooks. But that's
what is good. Azula going to do to tempt him to at the level he's at the end of the book one? Like, how is he even tempted by Azula?
So he has to get to some point. A hell of a sales pitch. I don't know what it's going to be. Maybe, yeah. Chris, what if it's not just Azula making the sales pitch? What if one of the changes they make is like dad bribery, trickery to get son to deliver the avatar and double cross? What if we get more?
I thought you were going to say maybe it's May doing the sales pitch, and I was going to be surprised that you're adding a war relationship.
Get out.
Stuff. More likely, it is May. Honestly, they could add more.
That sounds like May one that's going to swing and miss on the Sean scale.
Sounds like a spirit knife
to
you.
Like a spirit. May's favorite weapon, spirit knives. That's fantastic. Chris, my number... Oh, shoot, what are we on? We're on... Oh, number three. My number three is... I'm a little iffy on if they'll do this right, but I'm going to try to be positive and optimistic. We need to see some world traveling. The narrative lends itself to it. We are primarily in the Earth Nation, right? And that makes sense. But the Earth Nation's a big place. I don't want to see a ton of just like dull greens and browns and green caverns, right? Mm-hmm. I want to see the world traveling bits and elements. Visually, those were my favorite things, maybe overall, from season one. So like, let's not let the geography close in the visuals and the world traveling that we get. And I think they're gonna be okay. I think we've saw enough in the trailer to give me hope.
You know what you just said triggered a thought in me of why I don't think this show shoots much on location. I think they only shoot on stages. And like, I was trying to think of myself like, just, oh yeah, the Earth Kingdom, or? Like, yeah, probably. Like Earth, like I was saying to myself, like Earth Kingdom could look beautiful. You could have like vast greenery, landscapes, and stuff. And I thought to myself, I don't think I've ever seen a shot of the show that's kind of like that. Like it, I don't think any of it's really shot on the. Much of it's not shot on location. Everything feels like kind of soundstagey.
Yeah, nothing.
Like Game of Thrones is not shot on a soundstage, yeah. And you feel it.
Like, I mean, that's probably part of what makes Lord of the Rings feel legendary is the scenery feels real. Well, that's because it is. I think in season one, man, we probably need to do a quick rewatch. In season one, you do get some really cool, big, wide shots, but they're not shots with people doing things, right? So they could be manufactured in different ways. Mm. So, yeah, probably right. Fingers crossed that we get to see some scenery, though. Doesn't have to be real. It could be stage scenery. I just don't want underground, dark green caverns and brown dirt all season long.
Yeah. Looks like a shot on a basketball court. Very leveled.
Oh. That's the levelest ass cavern I've ever seen in my life. I know they're earthbenders, but come on.
My number three is I am confident that the action's going to be good. And season two has better action scenes than Book 2 of original Avatar has better action scenes and pieces than Season 1 did. So whether it's like Toph and the Royal Rumble, or it's Team Avatar and Jet and the Freedom Fighters versus Dai Li, or if it's the Aang and Katara versus Zuko and Azula, like those are some big, huge fights that I think is going to look good. I never had any problem with their fighting effects. Is more so like back. Actually, I didn't have much problem last year with any of the effects.
I'm a little sketchy on some of the bending, but to a minor. Like, we're in nitpick territory.
Yeah. It's like, you can only do so much, and water is notoriously
always,
hard.
Yeah, water's always stupid. I think, you know, I gotta be honest, I think a lot of the air, but for the same reasons as water, but the air just looks rough sometimes. Fire looks great. People like fire on scene or on screen. Looks great. Earth's probably the easiest. It's flat. Flat texture-wise. Yeah. But
nitpick. So I'm looking very much forward to the fight scenes and how they look. Like even the Western almost three-way duel between Zuko, Azula, and Aang. Yeah, it'll be... I'm really curious to see these fight scenes come to life.
My number two is, Chris, I got to hear the whole thing here. I want to see more past avatars because Kyoshi did look great. The shrine proximity thing is still stupid and the physical manifestation thing is stupid, but I like seeing past avatars. on the screen that look great, and I want to see more. I want to see Kurok in front of my face, not as like a vision, not as like a fuzzy visage. Like, no, I want to see him on the screen. I like that.
Yeah. I do think we'll get, I think I mentioned last week that we probably won't get Guru Patik. what's Guru Patik cast? I don't think I've ever seen a cast in Guru Patik. And it so in his place, probably
between
get...
Between you and I, yet.
And so in his place would be the Avatar is probably doing a lot of that.
Which, super cool. Again, just don't give me like a fuzzy dream vision of an Avatar. Like, show me a fully made up Yang Chen. That's fun to me. And I think they will. I don't know if I have all the confidence in the world, but I think that is a selling point for it as a show.
Oh, man. I'm just looking at Group 2 now. Some of these scenes will be missed if he's not in it. Especially seeing the Aang. They tell Aang that the Airbender's love didn't die. It was just transcended to Nula, Katara. Ah, love that moment.
But what if that came from like Yang Chen or something? It may not be as good, but...
If it came from... Oh, God. If it came from a Yang Chen, though, because Yang Chen is an Airbender.
Yeah.
That would be pretty good.
An Airbender, but a very dynamic, non-traditional Airbender, but still founded. Like, wouldn't that be a nice demonstration? Like, listen, I know I had to do some things because I was the Avatar, but at the core of my beliefs is still this truth right here. What a telling interaction. I have no idea where we are. Are we on my
number two?
Your two or my two?
Your two.
I just did two. My two was more Avatars.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay, my bad. My two then. You're right, that was your two. My
it's
two.
Late.
My two. More realism in a sense. More political stuff. not like Game of Thrones politics, stuff like that. No, not that. Not even like Yang Chen's political stuff. Just like civil unrest, right?
Okay.
We've seen that in the trailer. We've seen that in the trailer, and that looked really interesting. Of like, wow, we're really getting into the realism of like refugees and government state trying to hide things, and how can they try and keep people quiet, stuff like that. So I think maybe this will be one of the original things they do. But that looked really interesting to me.
I misunderstood your original part of that statement, and I retract my boos and apologize completely. No, because you're right. I think we talked about it 2 weeks ago. That's a part that they can lean into. And that they should lean into. That should be the thing that we're on Netflix. We can show these themes in deeper, darker fashion in a more gritty, real way. I'm not trying to say you have to go make an R-rated movie out of it or whatever, but like, you can do those things that the animated show 20 years ago couldn't do on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
So do them. Show them. Make it hit.
I mean, if they show the ramifications of war.
Yes.
To the everyday people, what does that look like?
Yeah.
And it could
not to our favorite character, who is basically a god in human form. It's like, what about to the ordinary? What about to the you in this universe?
Yeah.
Show that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, my number one is like the least hot take, but that's kind of the point, is because I think pretty confidently they're going to do it, and they're going to do a good job. Is that we're going to get...
Zutara.
You nailed it. We're going to get so much... No, close. We're going to get great Zuko and Iroh. And I know that we're going to get it or feel good because we already got so much in the first season. Those moments that we've already discussed that were new and different and instant hooks into those characters. I feel confident that relationship somehow... is going to get even more complex. Maybe Rocky. In fact, I hope it's Rocky, like I said last episode. I don't want Zuko to be too likable too fast. I want him to feel very real, as if a troubled, angsty teenager was living with his outcast uncle. That sounds rife for conflicts and a lot of emotion being passed back and forth, etc. And I think they're going to do it. I'm not saying they'll like nail it perfect, but I think we're going to get lots of tremendous Zuko and Iroh, and that the ultimate outcome of this show and what we take away from it and what we like from it at the end, could a big chunk of that could very well be how good Zuko and Iroh are in the next two seasons here.
Yeah, that's a great point, especially if you build them up to a certain extent and then give a really good reason for Zuko to betray him. Like, if they end the season, like, I was so mad at Zuko at when I watched this in real time. Like, also, I know I was in college, but I still didn't grasp that TV shows have seasons, and sometimes those seasons come to an end. Because, and that's the finale.
We're watching cartoons that just went on forever, Chris. We're watching Yu-Gi-Oh! Yeah. With its 60-episode seasons that just didn't die.
Because, like, the next week, I was like, okay, new episode of Avatar this week, maybe? All right, looking forward to it? No new episode. Hmm. I'm wondering when a new episode's going to come.
Guess and so I was just mad. Here.
I was mad for probably 3 weeks at Zuko for betraying Iroh. And so, like, if they can just get a fraction of that, that would be great.
Yeah, I think, like I said, the first season gave me the hopes that that's something that they're gonna nail.
Yeah, yeah. My number one, and to be contradictory to my last week's list, because my number one. Again, it's more like an equation, if you will. There's probably a 55% chance they knock this out of the park. But if they knock it out of the park, it completely makes the season. If Toph is great, then the season is. If Toph is Toph, seasons doesn't be like. I know, narrowly speaking, other things should work in order for the season to be great. But if Toph's great herself, it would go a long way. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they probably got probably 55-60% chance of nailing it. They also got, and then they probably have like, well, they probably got a 50% chance of nailing it. Probably a 30% chance of being okay and 20% chance of being bad. So
give me something closer to like 25 nail, 50 okay, 25 bad. Put me down for those odds.
No, that's a basic U-shaped curve,
just
Sean.
A very, very bell. Yeah.
Bell curve. There we go. That's a bell curve.
I don't know if it's the right word. It is a word. But no, that's where I'm feeling, though, is that there's a very good chance it's like, yeah, they did fine and Toph was good and that made it good enough to watch. You know what I mean? Like, because how do you nail Toph better than Toph was already portrayed? How do you?
I mean, I think you just try to get close to it. Okay. I don't think you have to improve it. If you just get to like 90% of it. Because I feel like a lot of people overhype when they watch Netflix Avatar. They retroactively overhyped Book One of Avatar, and because, like, to me, the two aren't far from each other. Book One of Avatar is still much better, but I feel like they're kind of just lumping all of the original Avatar and comparing it to Book One of the live action show. And so, Book Two should lift up the Netflix Avatar. And a huge reason Book Two was so good was because of Toph.
Seems fair. And I'm curious if they... You know what? No. I'm curious to see how they handle Toph. I don't know if I can formulate anything more intelligent than that. It'd be very interesting to see what they leave one-to-one and what they attempt to change, if anything. If they age her up, what do they change in relation to her age, etc.? Maybe she's already, like, in line for certain political duties, or, you know, like, if she's older, she's already got other responsibilities lined up, not just being a helpless little girl or something like
and
that.
And it's interesting, you know, with the recent movie, people have seen an adult Toph. People seem to like...
La, 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 la.
Oh, yeah, sorry. From the one image, two couple images we got, people seem to really like adult Toph. in her look, and so it'll be interesting to see a slightly older Toph. I mean, part of the Toph appeal though is that she's a really small little girl and she's a BA, so yeah. That's gonna leave. And so, like, how do they get by with that?
I don't know for sure. My only thought is that if they can sell it a little deeper than just, well, she's like a frail, tiny girl, somehow, right? Just a little more depth to it than that.
Probably have to lean into the, because, I mean, at 14 or 15, you're no longer like a frail, tiny girl.
Yeah,
like,
well, but she could just be tiny, you know, like a relatively small person also. Like, she doesn't look big or anything. But, you know, like, no, she's in line to go to the whatever rich earthbending academy and blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. She's got other things in line that are more than just mom and dad don't want me to go.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe the link is the blindness. She does seem more blind. From the trailers I've seen, she does appear more blind than Toph does in the cartoon. To me, Toph never seems all that blind because she can...
Because she's so
see
in
our...
So maybe this one, what you've seen so far is a good facade. Like that, maybe that's the maybe that's her playing it up.
Or maybe she's a little bit of these clips are her as I don't know, not playing. Maybe the actress is just playing it more like Toph is blind. Because there are some times where Toph is just like, Toph is, I don't know. Maybe just seeing, maybe because it's live action, it just comes across as more blind.
Also, it's a trailer. You know, we're talking about pretty limited, limited samples.
Yeah, we'll see. But long story short, to wrap that up, Toph could really make the season. And there's, and like I said, if they can do it, go a long way for the season.
And my honorable mention, Spirit Knife. Matching spirit knives this time. It's got a brother, and the brother spirit knife is the only thing that can kill the Fire Lord. For
you know,
reasons.
Book two really doesn't have much stuff about spirits in it. Well, there's Wan Ching Tong.
Is Hei Lai book one or book two?
Book one.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe it is just Wan Ching Tong.
But Wan Ching Tong also doesn't feel that spirity because he's in the physical world, and he's pretty physical. He doesn't even seem like a spirit. He has a very physical form. In fact, he might be the only spirit that we've seen have a very, I mean, Hei Bai does, but also Hei Bai like
it
transports from here and there.
Yeah, and he also turns into the bear at the end. Is like, I don't know, that kind of whereas Wan Ching Tong, to your point, just like, nope, that's him. That's 100%.
He's just
angry.
Just a hybrid. Just a hybrid animal. Who's a half owl, half snake, I think.
What about in the books, the thing that steals Yun from the physical world? Like, it physically reaches out and grabs him, essentially, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember its name, but.
Yeah, and spirits can be very physical. It just seemed like Wan Ching Tong doesn't.
He lives.
To me, Wan Ching Tong just doesn't feel that spirity.
Yeah,
even Father Glowworm feels like almost like a, I don't know, an entity. But he's like one eye with gel or something. It's hard to even describe him. But Wan Ching Tong is like, okay, he's an owl, and he has a snake neck.
Which
and
also
he's very,
kind of
and he
do,
talks.
Right? Like, they got weird, extendable, turnaroundable necks. Owls are weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So to me, Wan Ching Tong oftentimes just feels like a hybrid animal with sentient
with
thoughts and stuff.
With a very valuable magic card. to his name.
Mm.
It's very useful in a variety of decks. Hey, let us know your opinions on what you have high hopes for in the forthcoming season. We'll probably just be off this coming week, and then the next week, my timeline's messed up because I'm bad at timelines. Let's take a peek at this, shall we?
Should be able to record. Well, you'll be at my house, right, on the 25th, that Friday?
The Friday is the 26th, and I should okay. be able to. That's when it's coming out, right? 25th or 26th?
Yeah, it comes out the 25th. Comes out that Thursday.
Okay, I think I was thinking Friday.
Yes, you were thinking Friday.
It was my better day work-wise. So, yep, so off next week, and then the following one we'll do something related to watching that season. It'll be great. Yeah. It'll be great. All right. Yeah. Thanks for watching. Tell us your comments below, as well as thumbs ups, likes, subscriptions, whatever else you feel like leaving us that makes us feel good. We appreciate that. I'll leave all the information down in the description like normal. In the meantime, my name's Sean. That's Chris Ford, a.k.a. The Objective Geek of YouTube and Twitter. We'll see you next time.